Your word is life, and you have given us your word in the abundance of your name. It is your purpose to unveil your word according to all of your name, Father. And Father, today as we open, O God, one facet of the prophets, Father, we pray, O God, that what you manifest to our hearts, O God, will grow in us, it will bring forth in us a new creation, Father, a creation that is manifested in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the unveiling of your word in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the unveiling of your word by the Holy Spirit. We pray for the unveiling of your word according to your will. We pray for the unveiling of your word that will bring forth in us a new life, Father, a new creation, Father, that we will come forth, O God, even as you have ordained us to be, a people fearfully and wonderfully made, Father, each one of us uniquely made in your image, uniquely manifested in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, that as you speak your word into our lives, let that word come forth in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that word be an expression of Christ expressed, Father, so that everything that is within us, O God, will realize the word of life, Father, that we will come forth, O Lord, as a people who know you, as a people who love you, as a people who are able to live through you, Father. We ask you, O God, to write your word into our hearts, to bring forth your word by the Holy Spirit, so that we will indeed be able to walk by the Spirit in the realities of your word that are in accordance, O God, with the law and the prophets fulfilled, Father. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that the Lord is bringing forth is this reality that is of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We are now doing a ministry on the internet, mainly to the Jews. And the Jews are a people who have a deep background in the Old Testament. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit is bringing forth is the aspect of the word that rests from the Old Testament. The aspect of the word that Jesus Christ fulfilled, the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 says, Jesus Christ tells us that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Shall we just turn that? Turn to that very quickly. Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law, until all is accomplished. Until all is accomplished. So the law of God is still there. It is just that we need to understand it in fulfilled terms. The law of God has to be fulfilled in our lives. Okay? The prophets have to be fulfilled in our lives because Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. And as Jesus Christ comes alive in us, what we will clearly see are realities that are in accordance with God's law and prophets fulfilled. And that's a topic that's going to take us a few years to discover, at least until the Lord comes. Because there are so many realities in the law and the prophets that need to be understood. Okay? Today I want to take one aspect of the prophets that it says that we are all to be taught by God. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. And all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. And all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. All will be taught by the Lord. The word, the name Lord there is Yahweh. All will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. Verse 14 continues, in righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh. And their vindication is from me, declares Yahweh, the Lord. Okay? So, all of us are to be taught of the Lord. Let's look at the New Testament. John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 45. John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 45. The Lord Jesus tells us, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Everyone who has learned from the Father has come to me, can come to me. Right? Everyone who has learned, who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So we want to take this subject and we want to open it. God teaching us. We are all meant to be taught by God our Father. Being taught by God is the fulfillment of the prophets. What does it mean? It means that every one of us should expect to be taught by God. There's nothing exceptional about being taught by God. It is normal to be taught by God. It is our purpose to be taught by God. We are all to be taught by God. And Jesus said, we are to learn and to be, and to, we are to, what? Hear and learn from the Lord. Right? From our Father. So that we can come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? God teaches us. How does God teach us? God teaches us by a peculiar reality called revelation knowledge. God teaches us by revelation knowledge. And I want to pick this subject up, although we have taught that subject in many different ways. I want to see, we want to open it in terms of the fulfillment of the prophets, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. That we may observe all the words of this law. The key word there that I want to bring forth this morning is the word words. That we may observe all the words of this law. Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the law. What does it mean? It means that all of the words of the law found their meaning in him. All the words of the law found their meaning in him. All the words of the law found their meaning in him. They were described in him to be unveiled in us. When the words of the law described in Jesus Christ come alive in us, the law that he fulfilled becomes fulfilled in our lives. Can you catch it? The key thing is the words. What do words represent? Words represent realities. Right? We speak languages of men, and the languages of men are described in what we live in. So if you look at the realities in which, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary or any other dictionary, you will find that words have got many meanings. Some of those meanings are terrible. Some of those meanings are couched in falsehood because that's the way man has defined those words. Now God is speaking to us and God is bringing forth in us a pure language, a new language. God is bringing forth in us a new reality. God is bringing forth in us something that is different. Something that is in accordance with the law and the prophets fulfilled. So how does God teach us actually? How do you teach someone who has got all the wrong ideas? How do you teach someone whose ideas of words are all a mixture of falsehood and truth? Mixture of good and evil. And that's the key to what we are talking about. But we shall all be able to hear from God and learn from God and come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the fulfillment of the prophets. We are to be taught by God to receive a new language, a pure language. And this language is to be defined in words. And these words are not Greek and Hebrew. These are words that are described from the name of God. Let's just pick this up, all right? Let's start with Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. So there is a reality of the word that is according to all of God's name. That means the word is defined by God's name, who God is and all that God is. God created the universe so that he could express his greatness into the universe. he could express the reality of who he is and all that he is into the universe. Because of rebellion, that reality has been corrupted. It has been corrupted in our realm. It has been corrupted because we have received a witness that stands in opposition to God. So in all of our fields of knowledge, the first thing that we are taught is that God is irrelevant. Right? God is not of any concern. Right? You can go and do a degree and don't talk about God in that entire degree because he is considered to be irrelevant. But that's from where all our words take on their falsehood. That's why everything that we do ultimately becomes chaos. The more we learn, the more refined is our chaos. The more complicated becomes our chaos. And this is something we are experiencing in the world. We do experiments in laboratories, we write PhDs, and lo and behold, 20 years later, all that we wrote in those PhDs come back and we start finding things that we thought we knew that have become a living disaster. Right? You can see that in the fields of genetic engineering, right? In our products, right? We've got all kinds of poisons in the most commonest of products that we use every day. Right? And if you look at the way cancer is increasing, you will find that, right, the products that we are using are causing all kinds of complications, right? Complications that we never knew or never thought would be there. And we have a situation that actually is getting out of hand, right? And the main and very fundamental reason is because we say God is irrelevant. And so we can figure out all things for ourselves. But God has defined a realm according to his word, and he says that word is according to all of his name. So if you read the scriptures, there is a reality of scripture that is in space and time. That means it takes into consideration things that have happened historically. But there is also a reality in the word that is forever. A reality that stands in God. We shall call it an abiding reality. A reality of continual fulfillment. A reality that God has ordained that stands by his name. A reality that nobody can change. It's only a question of whether you enter it or you die if you don't enter it. Right? It's something God has ordained. Salvation is such a reality. Right? We enter into that reality, and as long as we keep growing in that reality, the reality of salvation sets us free. Right? We are talking about the law and the prophets being fulfilled. That is a reality in salvation. As salvation manifests into your spirit, your soul, even your body, into your heart, into your mind, you will find that you will be transformed and changed. And as you are transformed and changed, the promises of God become alive to you. The laws of God become fulfilled. Disease leaves your body. Right? Your thinking changes. You are transformed in your nature. All these things are part of the abiding realities that God has defined. Okay? So what God has defined, it will always be there. It has always been there. It will always continue to be there. The Old Testament begins with something called, with a person's life called Enoch. And the Bible just very simply says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for he was taken. Right? Now how was Enoch able to walk with God? What does it mean he walked with God? What it means is that he communed with God. The language that he spoke was the language God gave him. The New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 says that Enoch obtained a witness, right? Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He obtained that witness. God gave him a witness. That was God's witness. I am who I am. Enoch received that witness in the faith that God fashioned into him. We all know that faith is a substance of hope, right? That substance is the substance that God wants to give us. And that's why faith cannot be self-denominated. Faith has to be God-denominated. Because the substance of your faith must come from him. Can you catch that? The substance of your faith must come from him. Enoch walked with God. And what did God manifest while Enoch walked with God? He manifested the substance of Enoch's faith. And the substance of Enoch's faith became an evidence of God. Can you catch that? Right? Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. Right? Hebrews 11:1, King James Version of the Bible. King James, New King James Version. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. All right? So Enoch walked with God, and God manifested the substance of the faith that Enoch needed. And as Enoch grew in God, that substance that was of God was manifested in him, and what he received was an evidence of God. That evidence had meaning to him. So Hebrews 11:5 says that evidence became a witness in him. It was living. It was living. Right? And that witness was described by words that God gave him. He had no Bible in hand. Right? He had no Bible in hand. All he walked was by the Spirit and in the reality of God's Word. God's Word is a living person. Right? So Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. Salvation manifested to him because he walked with God. But that salvation was manifested to him through the substance that he received from God. And that substance was God-given. And in that substance, he came alive to God. Now, what is so important about God? All of salvation comes from God. Let's turn to Psalm 54, verse 1. All salvation comes from God. Salvation is a manifestation that comes out of the name of God. Psalm 54, verse 1. David writes, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power." Save me, O God, by thy name. What is the meaning of Yahshua or Jesus? Yahweh saves. Right? Jesus manifested salvation. How? In the name of God. He brought the name of God into our hearts. He brought the name of God into our lives. He made it alive to us. He explained the name of God to us from a cross. He came to tell us who our God is. And on the cross, we see the heart of our Father. On the cross, we see the reality of who our God is. Are you with me? David cries, "Save me, O God, by thy name." So how is salvation manifested? By who God is and by all that God is. What has Jesus brought into our lives? The tangibility of the living God, that God is alive, that God is alive in our lives. Why? Because Jesus is alive in us. So Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. King James Version, King James Version of the Bible. The fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. John 1, verse 16. Of his fullness we have all received. John 1, 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized. All right? Realized. What is God asking us to realize? The fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, how is that manifested? And that's what we are talking about, all right? Because all of the words that fulfill the law, fulfill the prophets, are all described in the fullness of Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill it. And he came to explain it into us. And he explains it into us in spirit and life. Spirit is anointing. Life is the reality of the Word. When you see God's Word, you are able to see a new way of life. Now, to enable you to live that life, God gave the Spirit of Christ to us. The Spirit of Christ is the anointing. It comes to us as the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of counsel. Can you catch that? And that Spirit enables us to understand the life that God has given us. And that life is described into us. And as you grow in God, you will find that the reality that you live by is changing. Who changed that? Your understanding of life changes. Your understanding of who you are in God changes. You are no longer just someone who is born and who is dying and decaying. You are someone who is beginning to live. Is someone who is coming alive to new things. Are you with me? All right. Now, all of these things are described in the name of the Lord your God. So the Word of God is according to all of his name. So the purpose of the Word is to describe God's name into us. And as God's name is described into us, we are saved. Now, to manifest that reality, Jesus had to go to a cross. He went to a cross and he manifested a witness. He manifested a witness in blood, water, and spirit. That witness Enoch obtained even before Jesus Christ was crucified. Now that tells you why? Because God is eternal. So everything that God did in Jesus Christ, although it was manifested 2,000 years ago, it also existed eternally. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal and clothed them. First thing he applied was the blood. Not because the blood of the lamb of those animals could save them, but simply because it was representing the witness of the eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? And that sacrifice from the cross is unveiled to us as a witness. And that witness is going to be described in words. Can you catch that? Words that God is going to explain to us in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? So love, what is love? It's love. The meaning of love is not found in the Oxford Dictionary. The meaning of love is found in the heart of God. The meaning of wisdom is not found in the Oxford Dictionary or in writing PhDs. The meaning of wisdom is found in the intelligence of God. So God has defined a realm in words that are very different from what we have studied in the world. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. I'm going to read that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So God is defining a new reality and is telling us that that reality has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And that reality is defined in words that are to be brought alive to us supernaturally. And those words are going to teach us, those words are going to transform us, those words are going to change us. And in those words are all of God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And they are all going to be unveiled to us in Christ Jesus. It's a supernatural reality. It's not a reality of our intellect. This is something God has to teach us. So this is where it comes, the fulfillment of the prophets. Jesus Christ went to the cross and He established a reality where all of us will be taught by our Father. How do we understand that? Jesus Christ came as a human being, right? He was incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was of the substance of God. He was of the substance of the Holy Spirit. He grew up like any one of us would grow up. But the only difference was that he grew up and he was taught by the Holy Spirit. He was taught by God. Right? There are passages of scripture that refer to this. I don't want to go through it because it'll make this sermon very long. So, all right, but just, right, you know that when Jesus was 12 years old and they brought him before the priests, they were shocked at the knowledge that he had. Right? He asked them questions and then he also supplied the answers for the questions that he asked. Right? And they were shocked that a 12-year-old boy could give those kind of answers. Who taught Jesus? He had to be taught. He had to hear the voice of God and he had to learn. He had to obey the voice of God and he had to accept the cross. In that process of walking as a man, for 30 years he lived as an ordinary man. He worked with his hands. He was a carpenter. He did not live in the executive suite or he did not live in a palace. He worked his hands. And in that whole process, the Bible tells us that he was subject to his father and his mother. So he lived a very human life. And in that human life, he was describing something very different from what we have in our own selves. He was describing a lifestyle that was totally different from what you and I have led. He was describing a new lifestyle, a lifestyle by God, in God, and through God in the world. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. He lived and he fulfilled God's law. By observing that law, he honored his parents, he honored God, he reverenced God, he did not covet, he did not steal, he did not tell lies, he did not kill. Right? He walked in God's laws and he also realized God's promises. All those promises that God wrote in the Old Testament that he wanted to give the children of Israel. The promises that the children of Israel were unable to unveil, Jesus received them and he walked into them. He was baptized and he was anointed. And he went about, and all those things that are written in the prophets, that God will open the wilderness and let there be life, and all that came alive in Jesus' life. Suddenly in the wilderness of decay and despair, people were being healed, people were being restored, lives were being changed. Suddenly the word of God was coming alive, and the word was coming alive in a living person. Suddenly the law was suddenly being fulfilled. It was being fulfilled in the life of a single person. And because of the fulfillment of the law, all of the prophets were being opened. All the promises that were in the Old Testament started exploding into life. He started speaking and the things were happening. And suddenly everything in Scripture, the reality of God, suddenly manifested. But Jesus had to receive something that was very difficult for him. He had to receive the reality of going to the cross. But in the whole process of receiving this reality, Jesus Christ manifested a witness. And then he consecrated that witness that he had before God for us. He loved us. He manifested that witness on a cross for us. In that witness, he manifested what would save us. So he forgave us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he also, in that process, produced a witness that actually loved us. He produced a witness that actually had faith for our salvation. And that witness was judged by God. That witness was judged by God. So when you see Jesus Christ dying, you find that he gave his spirit to the Father. And that spirit was judged. And that spirit is part of the witness that he brings into our lives. When he died, the centurion, or one of the soldiers, comes and pierces his heart, and out flows water and blood. So John the apostle, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 10, describes the witness of Jesus Christ in three parts: spirit, blood, water. Spirit, the anointing. Blood. The blood is the intimacy, right? Love. Blood, the power of his forgiveness. Water, the pure water of the word that can clean us up and wash us up. That witness Enoch obtained even before Jesus went on a cross. Why? Because the Bible says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, right? Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So that witness was always there. Why? Because God is eternal. God is not bound by space and time. Because Jesus Christ is divine, whatever he consecrated as a man manifests in his divinity. Right? So if Jesus Christ was not divine, his going to the cross would have absolutely no meaning to us. Right? You could have nailed 1,000 Gandhis to the cross, it wouldn't have affected your life. Right? But because Jesus Christ was divine, and because his witness was pure and undefiled, that witness is able to manifest in us. Yahweh saves. That's the witness. Yahweh saves is a witness that comes to us as blood, water, and spirit. And God spoke of this provision in the book of Genesis. Right? When a ram took the place of Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14, it was said that on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Yahweh Jireh, on the mount of the Lord it will be seen. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. The mount of the Lord is God's name manifested. God is the Most High God, that's his name. The first title of God is Most High. And in defining the name of God as Most High, God is defining a mountain of reality in him. Only thing is, this mountain has got no end. Right? Are you with me? And that's what the Bible calls the Mount of Yahweh, right? The Mount of the Lord. Lord meaning Yahweh. Right? So when the ram was put on the altar and sacrificed, God, Abraham writes, right? Abraham says that God has provided, right? Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh Jireh is the witness that will save us. God provides for us in a witness manifested to us in blood, water and spirit. And in that witness, God is going to teach us new things. And that witness is already inside of you. Are you listening? And as the word of God is revealed to you in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, those words are going to describe new realities to you which you can live and move in. Can you catch the picture? And in those new realities, God is going to give you a new life. He's going to define a new person. He's going to define a person that He has fearfully and wonderfully made. His own son, you. Whether you are male or female, you are His son. Okay, let's look at a few verses, okay? I'm going to take these verses at random, just bear with me. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So that's the first thing we want to establish. You have a witness. The moment you were born again, you came alive to God. That's the first thing that hit you. Right? Suddenly you had an interest in the things of God. Suddenly you had a passion for the things of God. So you have the witness. Right? Don't let the devil tell you that you don't have that witness. You may not hear that witness very well, but you have that witness. Okay? Okay? You have that witness. Okay, verse 6 says, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth." Verse 8, "For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement." Okay, so how is this witness defined? Blood, water and Spirit. But blood, water and Spirit is a witness of Him, Jesus Christ. Alright, can you catch that? It's not a witness of ideas or concepts. It's a witness of a living person. Now Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. All of God's Word comes to us in Him. Can you catch that? And when God's Word comes to you in Jesus' name, it comes into your witness. It comes as revelation knowledge. It comes to you in His Spirit and in His life. It comes to you as His words to you. Right? It is not an intellectual concept. It is something given to you by God. Right? If you have a New King James Bible, you will find that verse 7 says that there is a witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So now you have a witness in heaven, I am who I am. And that witness is made manifest to us in blood, water, and Spirit. Can you catch that? And that witness is the cross manifested within us. So the cross is not something that took place 2,000 years ago. A cross is an eternal reality. And that reality was always there because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And Enoch walked with God simply because the Lamb had been slain in the heart of the Father. And because the Lamb was slain, the law was fulfilled, the prophets was fulfilled, and Enoch was able to learn from God. Can you catch that? Enoch had no Bible. So how did he learn from God? He learned from God because God bore witness to His Word to him directly. Are you with me? So Jude 14 tells us that Enoch saw Jesus' second coming. So he knew Jesus Christ. So although he lived somewhere like 3,500 BC, he knew Jesus Christ, and he wrote about Him, and he prophesied about Him. So we need to understand something here. The witness of Jesus Christ was always there. It is an eternal witness. It is defined in blood, water, and Spirit. Can you catch that? All right? It's a divine witness. It's a witness given to us. And you and I who have been born again have that witness. That's the first thing that came alive to us. That's the only reason why we are in this church today. Because that witness has drawn us to God. That witness has made Jesus Christ actually alive to us. He is a living person. He is real. And if we are growing the right way, we are actually falling in love with Him. And if we are growing the right way, we are falling in love with Him. And if we are not falling in love with Him, it's a warning sign that we are doing something wrong. Or we are not opening the witness to its true fulfillment. All right? All right? Because the entire Bible is a love affair. Scripture was written as a love affair, as a love letter. Although it speaks so much of God's judgment, yet it also speaks so much of God's love. So we need to understand that that love is manifested to us, the reality, the abiding realities of Scripture, the eternal realities of God's Word is borne witness to us in blood, water and spirit. So the Word of God is not theory, okay? The Word of God is a living witness. God used His Word to create the universe. What we need to understand is God has manifested His Word into us to bring forth our creation. So Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus. Can you catch that? We are created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. Right? So this is taking place. Only thing is, it's taking place on our inward parts. So how does God teach us? God teaches us by changing the substance of our very being. And now when you understand faith, faith becomes something very, very exciting. Okay, let me show you a verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with faith, with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Whose faith and love is this? Jesus' faith and love. Grace is the manifestation of Jesus' faith and love for you. Can you catch that? Grace is the manifestation of Jesus' faith and love for you. And that faith and love for you is manifested in an inward witness. And that faith and that love is described to you in God's Word. Can you catch that? And that faith and that love is bringing into you a reality of words that are totally new, His words. And these words will change you, doesn't matter who you are. If you receive those words, you will be changed, because those words are the words of God. Okay? And because they are of the substance of Jesus Christ, they can change you. No big deal. The only question is, you must receive it. Okay? Now let's pick those words, my words, okay? And let's take them into John 6:63. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking, are spirit and are life. The words that I have spoken to you, my words to you, are spirit and life. Whose spirit and whose life? Since they are His words, they are His spirit and His life. And they are brought to you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? My words. Alright? The Greek word for words there is rhema, the quickened word. Okay? Now let's look at another exciting verse. Luke 21 verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Right? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now Jesus is now bringing forth the fact that His words to us are eternal words. Now we need to catch this picture. God's word, when it comes to us in the words of Jesus Christ, those words are eternal words. They will never pass away. Those are the words that are according to the name of God. Now the Greek word for words there is logos. Rhema now has become logos. Now logos is the word that has been formed in you. Now logos is also used to describe the written word. So what has happened? God has taken His written word, the word that has always been, and He is now written that word into you by logos. Now He translated that written word to you through the rhema of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? He took that rhema word in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ and He manifests it into you and me as logos word. And anyone who receives logos word will be changed. So that's why Ephesians 2:10 says we are created in Christ Jesus. Can you catch that? Praise the Lord. All right. Now let's look at my words again. Let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44 and verse 45. Now he said to them, "These are my words." Very important letters, right? "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now my words have become the entire scriptures. Listening? So Jesus says that everything in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, when they speak of me, when they speak of Yahweh, when they speak of the abiding realities in God, those words must be fulfilled. And they are my words. Can you catch it? So if you receive the word of God, you will change. It's no big deal. Correct? It's not so hard to change now, isn't it? That's why John 1:16 is very important. "Of his fullness we have all received." Grace upon grace. You don't earn it, you just receive it. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is God's teaching. That realization is God's teaching. Can you catch that? So how does God teach you from the witness? He brings forth a realization. Simple. And anything you realize will hit you on the inside. So when God teaches you, he doesn't teach you from the outside. He teaches you from the inside. I cannot talk to you on the inside. Only God can do that. And what he is talking to you on the inside, it is between you and him. Can you catch that? You are his son. Right? What does son mean? Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." Can you catch that? No Jew, no Greek. No slave, no free man. No man, no woman. We are all one in Christ. We are all called sons. Verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now that's a very important statement, okay? Because that faith is defined in the substance of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? That's why there is no difference. If it was just your faith and my faith, then we are all different. But when the substance of the faith is the same substance, there is no difference. Can you catch it? Rich man, poor man. Untouchable, high caste, makes no blooming difference. Right? Green skin, pink skin, black skin, white skin, makes no difference. The substance on the inside is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Catch it? Yeah? That's why there is no difference. And anyone who receives that belongs to God. In the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our merits. Because the fullness is of him. And has been received grace upon grace. It was not earned because we prayed 40 days. It was not earned because we stood on our heads. It was given. When you fast and receive something, it is still given. Because the witness is of the blood, the water, and the spirit. He was crucified. It's very important for us to understand there's only one person who has been crucified for the human race. We are all saved by him. We are all saved in his merits. We are all anointed in his merits. We are all created in his fullness. The substance is of him. It is not of us. Because everything is going to be redefined in Christ. The wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding is all going to be of his substance. The word is of his substance. The word is made flesh. Where? In your heart. Okay? So what is the fundamental way in which God teaches us? He gives us a heart. Okay? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Familiar passage of scripture. But it's always good to read God's word over and over again until we actually hear it.
you know, understanding it with our head and receiving the word in our heart are nowhere near the same. All right? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, 26, and verse 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Notice the words, you will be clean. Who is sprinkling the water? God is sprinkling the water. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Right? Who will cleanse us? God will cleanse us. Now what is this witness? It's the witness of the water of the word. Where did this water come from? It came from the side of Jesus Christ. God was in prophetic symbolism expressing something for us to understand very clearly. The water flowed from his pierced side. He paid a price. He gave his life. And suddenly the fountainhead of the Godhead was open to us. The waters of life are flowing into us. Correct? That's all. And who paid the price for it? Jesus Christ paid the price for that. Right? And it will cleanse us from all our filthiness, no matter who we are. And from all of our idols. The biggest idol is the idol of self. If you can get rid of the idol of self, the rest of the idols will go flying out. Verse 26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now all that God says he will do. He will give us a new heart and he will put a new spirit within us. When did that happen? When we were born again. Suddenly we had a heart for God, deep within us. Suddenly we came alive to God. Suddenly we were enabled to search for God. That came out of a new spirit. That is the seed of Christ. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe all my ordinances. Or obey all my ordinances. Okay? So at the center of this teaching process is that heart that God is giving us. Can you catch that? He is going to remove that heart of stone built on all the wrong kinds of knowledge. And he's going to give us a new knowledge form in a new heart of flesh. That's why everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God. And God is going to give you an education that's going to create you. Because God teaches you in substance. Can you catch that? God teaches you in substance. Right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. At the centerpiece of this process of teaching us is a heart of flesh. Okay, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Here the Lord announces, I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me. God gives us the heart to know him. So God's law, which says, you shall love me with all of your heart, that heart God means to give us. Can you catch that? And with that heart, God will transform your soul. And with that heart, God will transform your mind. And with that heart, God will become your strength. And you will be able to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, how can you love God with all your heart? Very simple, because that heart came from him. It was created by him, it was created for him. And that heart is being made manifest in us. So why can't we feel it in the way we should? Because we also have a big heart of stone. And that heart of stone has to be removed. Okay, so what does the Lord say in verse 7? I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with their whole heart. Right? They will return to me with their whole heart. Okay? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 38 and verse 39. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they will not turn away from me. Amen. So God means to give us that heart. That heart is substance. Jesus calls it my flesh. Catch it? Yeah? Okay? Jesus calls it my flesh, and he says, unless you eat of my flesh, you will have no life in you. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life in you. And that's the basis on which we celebrate Holy Communion. What's the centerpiece? A witness. A witness that says, remember me. Now everything that you become depends on how you remember him. And that remembrance is given to you in a heart of flesh manifested in a witness of the blood, the water, and the spirit. So what has God manifested to us? A living witness from the cross. He has taken the cross and manifested it into our hearts, into our very being. All right? So the Old Testament Jews had an altar. They had a physical altar on which they sacrificed an animal. We have a spiritual altar built into us as a living witness. And on that altar is a heart of flesh. Can you catch that? And that flesh is the flesh of the Lamb. So what was symbolized in the Old Testament in rituals is fulfilled in us as a true reality, as a growing reality. Can you catch that? And in that reality, God is teaching us. He is creating us, inward out, right? Inside out. One day we will have a new body. When we have that new body, we will come alive to how well God has created us on the inside. So God is creating us day to day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What does the word renewed mean? The old is being made new. The old is being made new. And this is a renewal that is within us. Now when the old is being made new, God is also teaching us something new. And this teaching is part of that witness. So if you look at how you look at Jesus Christ today versus how you looked at him 5 years ago, you will notice that there is a big difference, or there should be a big difference. Now if you have replaced Jesus Christ for giftings and for anointings, you will not understand this. If you are looking to God to just add zeros to your bank account, you will not understand this. It is only if you have been receiving Jesus Christ that you will understand this. And that's very important, that we understand that Jesus went to the cross in order that we will be taught by the Father to fulfill the prophets. And the fundamental reality of the fulfillment of the prophets is that God will teach us. God will teach us in substance. And we celebrate the substance of that teaching in our celebration of Holy Communion. Can you catch that? We celebrate the substance of our actual creation in our Holy Communion. In His flesh and in His blood, we are being brought forth as a new creation. And that new creation is called a Passover. Passover from darkness into His light. Okay? And that Passover is being built into you. That's what is exciting about this. Because nobody can take this away from you. Even if they kill you tomorrow morning, you will still have this Passover. It will still manifest. It will still keep on growing. This Passover is into the Mount of the Lord. How big is this Passover? It's infinite. Right? So Jesus Christ told us two things that we must always keep in mind. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Again, very familiar passages of scripture. We shall read it. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can already see the kingdom of God. But verse 5 is the one that we must really appreciate. It says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We must enter into the kingdom of God and we must function in the kingdom of God. Now to teach you and me to function in the kingdom of God, God teaches us. And this teaching enables you to function in God's kingdom. It enables you to function in God. So for instance, when you lead worship, for instance, God is teaching you something. He's teaching you how to function by Him. Not just to worship, not just for the sake of worship, but for the sake of the whole lifestyle. Because the way in which you are learning something from God, whether you are a prayer warrior, whether you are a worshipper, whether you are a preacher, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a, whether you counsel people, whatever it is, the moment you start learning how to function in God, God expects you to understand that that lesson is meant for every aspect of your life. Right? He wants you to understand that he wants to unveil that into every aspect of your life. That's why it is so important that you move into the ministry that you have. And don't let people stumble you from moving into your ministry. Because you cannot discover living by God until you move into your ministry. Because it's only when you move into ministry that you have the need to totally depend on God. Because people don't need your ministry, they need God's ministry. Correct? People don't need to hear my words, they need to hear the word of the Lord. And if you're going to have a genuine ministry, then you must be able to be a vessel in which God can manifest Himself. Otherwise, you're a bluff. Correct? That's so fundamental. And what is God teaching you? He's teaching you how to function by Him. And He's saying, my child, I am showing you how you can live by me. So you and I have to learn how to function by the Lord. Why? Because if we don't learn how to function by the Lord, we will be stuck with what we have. And what we have is only death. You can succeed for a point. After that, right? You can have faith in yourself, yes, up to a point. After that, so you can grow in your Christian life by putting all your effort into something, yes. You can grow up to a point. After that, what happens? So many Christians come to a point that is their maximum and then they are stuck there. Why? Because they cannot go beyond that. Why can't they go beyond that? Because they have not learned from God. They have not learned to live by God instead of living by themselves. And when you cannot live by God, what happens to you? You start decaying. Right? And that's true. Right? So the charismatic movement came and we operated gifts and we spoke in tongues and we did a lot of things. Many pastors fell. Why? Because they did their own thing. If they had developed that anointing in Christ and developed it through Christ, it would have been totally different. But when they developed it in themselves paying the price and themselves doing it, it's only a question of time before they fell. And if God had manifested the way the anointings that He manifested on the front line of ministry to others in the ministry, they would all have fallen. Why? Because the focus was all wrong. When the focus is not on Jesus Christ, you and I will fall. It's only a question of time, that's all. That's why it's very important to understand everything must come forth in Jesus Christ. If it does not come forth in Jesus Christ, it is not going to remain. God is not going to allow it to remain. That's why He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way, there is no other truth, and there is no other life. The substance must be 100% of Him, because no other substance will God accept. You cannot take any other flesh and manifest it from the altar of your heart. God will reject it. Correct? You remember the sons of who? Nadab and Abihu. Am I right? Those two sons. They brought wrong fire before the Lord and He just slew them. That's why our basics must be right. There are not many people who know how to bring fire before the Lord. But those who have moved into those realities must understand that if they bring wrong fire to the Lord, God will actually slay them. That's why it is so important that the heart of flesh be of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. Very crucial to our growth in the Lord. We cannot do our thing. The world is in this state because we have all been doing our thing. And everything that we see around us is our thing. And we are part of humanity. We can't sit down and say we are different. The difference is only that which is in Christ. The rest is still in the flesh. Correct? And we all have a good measure of the flesh that has to die. So God brings forth His witness in us in the blood, the water, and the Spirit, that remembrance. That is what we are celebrating in Holy Communion. And it's not a celebration that is a ritual. It's a celebration that proclaims your lifestyle. Because remembrance is supposed to be there all the time. You're supposed to learn how to function in this remembrance. You're supposed to learn how to function in anointings of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. You're supposed to learn how to function in the counsels of God in this remembrance. Because as you remember the Lord, He will speak to you. What did God tell Abraham? Walk before me and be blameless. That's all He said. I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. So in order to enable you and me to walk before God, God gave us a witness. If you walk before God in that witness, He will make you clean. He will make you blameless. Are you with me? So, let God be God. Your job is to be yourself before God. Right? Don't try and do what God should be doing. God says, walk before me. Your job is to keep that witness alive to Him. Your job is to remember the Lord, that's all. And in order to enable you to remember the Lord, Lord is giving you the word. And when all of the word comes out in the right way within you, the remembrance of Jesus Christ will be like a furnace of fire by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now that revelation is called the morning star, okay? Jesus Christ is called the bright morning star. We are called morning stars. And the radiance within us is called the Sun of Righteousness, S-U-N, okay? So when God took Father Abraham out, He said, your descendants will be like the stars. Stars means like flaming balls of fire, okay? So we're not talking something theoretical. Right? We're talking something that God is actually manifesting within us. So if you have ever read something, a technical article on the sun, just imagine what Sun of Righteousness means, okay? Alright? That's why you're called sons of God, okay? Right? That's why the Bible says nations will come forth from you, okay? Right? It's an awesome calling, right? And when you really understand that calling, to say, I have paid the price for it is stupid. Right? You cannot pay the price for it. You can only walk into it and grace and be grateful, right? Right? To shine as the stars in the heavens, right? The smallest star in the heavens is the sun that we have. Praise the Lord. So remembrance, right? What is the flaming fire of that sun, that remembrance? Okay? Correct? Nuclear energy, right? Nuclear energy, the nuclear energy in the I Am of God, correct? Can you catch that? Right? So remembering the Lord Jesus Christ is not a small thing. That is the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, as we celebrate Holy Communion today, Father, we want to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive in us, Father. We want to bless you and thank you that He gave Himself in His fullness to us. And that, Father God, it is your desire to bring forth His fullness in each one of us uniquely, Father. And how that fullness will manifest in each one of us, Father, it is something that you have as a desire in your heart. For you have called us forth, each one of us, uniquely as your sons. Each one of us fearfully and wonderfully made. Although we have got many faults, although we've got many flaws, Father, you have spoken forth a creation in perfection, Father. A creation that will manifest your sons, Father. A creation that will manifest in your greatness. And so, Father God, we ask you, O God, to manifest in us, O Lord, that Sun of Righteousness that you have ordained, Father.
that sun of righteousness that is a blazing ball of fire, the fire of the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is your righteousness manifested into us. And when we receive Him, Father, all the realities of the law and the prophets become realities that stand fulfilled. And we can walk into these realities, we can realize these realities, and we can live by these realities as kings and as princes, Father, of the kingdom of heaven, Father. And all of this, Father, you have manifested to us as a growing Passover. And this Passover is awesome, it is limitless, Father. It is limitless because it is as big as your heart, Father. And so we want to bless you and thank you, O God, for having loved us like this, O Lord. That as we grow in you, Father, we begin to understand how much was the love that was expressed for us from the cross. As we begin to grow, as we begin to unveil, O God, all of those things, O Lord, that make us, O God, new creatures in Christ. Father, we bless you that we are privileged to come and partake of this communion, Father, to celebrate your word, Father, by your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, to celebrate all that you mean to bring forth in each one of us in the fullness of Christ Jesus, to celebrate our creation in Christ Jesus. And so, Father God, we ask you, O Lord, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, made manifest to us through your living word, the Lord Jesus himself, unveiled to us by the Holy Spirit, so that we may walk in a witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit, that we may celebrate the living Christ in our hearts and in our minds, in a growing continuum, Father, that will open this Passover into the Mount of the Lord. And so, Father, we stand before you, Father, in the merits of the Lamb. We are able to pray this prayer simply because it is a prayer in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we bless you and thank you that we are able to pray like this, and we are able to invoke, O God, your name over our lives. And so, Father, we also pray for the church, Father. The church across the world, the church in the heavenly places, we ask you, O God, to forgive us for our sins, for our foolishness, for our divisions, Father. And enable us, O God, to understand, O God, that the unity of the church, O God, is by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, Father. So unveil in us this heart of flesh. Unveil in us this spirit of faith, Father, that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unveil in us the love of Jesus, so that we will come forth as a people who know you and love you, Father. That we as Christians will be defined by Jesus Christ and not by doctrines, Father. That we will be defined in the flesh and blood of the Lamb and not by mere doctrines, Father. So we ask you, O God, to save us by your name and to vindicate us by your power. We ask you, O God, to bring forth every doctrine in the name of Jesus Christ so that he lives and he reigns, Father. We ask you, O God, to save us by your name. We bless you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you that we are able to come to before you as a living body, Father, to celebrate the bread of life that you have unveiled to us in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That living bread, Father, is the I am of your name. The hidden manna that is meant to manifest to us, Father, in the fullness of Christ Jesus. That reality that is to unveil in us in revelation knowledge. That reality that is to come forth in us by your words. So bring forth, O Lord, those words in us, that we may live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That your word will become to us the living bread, the hidden manna of your name. That we may receive the word that is according to all of your name. That we may walk as new creations in Christ Jesus. That we may come forth as sons of the living God. Father, sanctify our hearts. That we may be able, O Lord, to walk in our eternal and growing remembrance, Father. That establishes us before you, Father, in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we bless you and thank you that of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We bless you for that realization, for we know that that realization is a supernatural manifestation. So we bless you that the substance is of him who is our Lord and our beloved. The substance is of him who gave himself entirely for us, Father. And so as we receive him, O Lord, as the living bread, we bless you and thank you for the privilege of being able to receive by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of the Lamb is eternal life, Father. The life that you have given us is in the blood. The blood that the Lord Jesus shed for us. In that blood you express to us, Father, his faith and his love for us, Father. In that blood, O God, is expressed the witness that atones for us, Father. That witness that says that you are able to save us, that you have saved us, that you will continue to bring forth our salvation. So in the blood, O Father, we celebrate the witness that you have brought alive in us in blood, water, and spirit. And we thank you that in that witness we are being unfolded as a new creation. We pray for the strengthening of that witness. We pray for the purity of that witness. We pray, O God, for your word to be unveiled so that it will become part of that witness that enables us to walk before you and be blameless. We bless you for this miracle of life that you have given us in Jesus' name. Through his blood. Amen.